Okay, everyone, it's Thanksgiving week. We are coming up on the best going out night of the year for everyone involved. That's right. Wednesday night before Thanksgiving is the best going out, meeting up with your friends, having a couple of drinks, making a few bad decisions night of the year. And guess what? We also have some real meaningful basketball to talk about and to enjoy going into this holiday season now. What a breath of fresh air after the Timberwolves have seemingly resurrected their season with a four-game winning streak going into a showdown with Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat on Wednesday night at Target Center. I can't wait for it. This is the John Krasinski Show. I am the usual sidekick of the show, even the show has my name on it. Jim Suhan is usually the host of the show. He is out this week, but we have a very special guest for everyone. We have Steven Strom, my kind of cohort at Talk North with his rising sports talk show, Strom Sports, for Talk North. He also happens to be behind enemy lines, Timberwolves fans. He works as a broadcast assistant for the Miami Heat. And so we are bringing Steven on to kind of really break down this epic clash that is about to happen on Wednesday night. Steven Strom, how are you doing, my friend?
How about that intro, Johnny Athletic? That was outstanding. I appreciate it. I'm very excited to do this. I appreciate you having me on, and it is going to be a showdown. Wolves have won four in a row. I don't know when the last time that's happened. The Heat off to a pretty good start, 11-6, so I'm excited to jump right into it.
Yeah, it's going to be great, Steven. I'll admit to you, and I think that most Wolves fans would be in the same boat in terms of looking at what this team was doing. Six straight losses. They're getting blown out by the Clippers on the road. They're not really trying very hard. Karl Anthony Towns looks like he's miserable. And you're thinking to yourself, I was thinking to myself, oh man, we still got 73 games to go. This season is over. What is going on here? And I think we were all looking ahead really to, when was Jimmy Butler going to be coming back? The Heat are playing very well. And just a week ago, Steven, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, man, this is going to be a bloodbath for the Timberwolves. I mean, there's nobody that they want to beat more than Jimmy Butler. And the Heat are really a veteran, tough team. They're playing really well. And the Wolves just do not look like they even belong. And that's going to be ugly. It may still be ugly on Wednesday night. I don't know. But what I do know is that after this four-game winning streak, they've started to play a little bit better offensively. Their defense is really good, and they've beaten teams that they should beat. Now there's all of a sudden some hope getting breathed back into this operation. Fans are starting to believe a little bit again, and that's going to make Wednesday night at Target Center a very, very raucous environment. So I think that this little winning streak, I don't know if it saves their season. I don't know what it means with Kings, Spurs, Pelicans. They're terrible teams. They should win. But had they lost any of those games or two of those games, we're going into this with a whole different feeling.
100%. And I think you hit it on the head. First of all, I'm happy the Wolves are doing well. I'm happy they've won four in a row here going into this game. There is obvious juice here with Jimmy Butler coming back to Minnesota. You also have the storyline of two Kentucky centers and Bam and Cat. But I think the biggest point, and we kind of texted yesterday about it, and I watched the New Orleans game, is this defense does look different. And I think a lot of Wolves fans sometimes are in denial about that. But just watching this team, especially the last four games, they've held the Spurs to 90 points, the Kings to 97 points, the Grizzlies to 95, the Pelicans to 95. Again, I'm going to ask you, I don't remember the last time they've won four in a row. I certainly don't remember the last time they've held teams to under 100 points in four straight games. So I don't really, we can go back and forth this because I'm actually very curious on my end. What have you seen the last few games? Is it a culmination of playing, you know, not the best teams? Or what have you seen defensively that they've been able to hold these teams to under 100 points?
Yeah, I mean, I do think, Steven, that one of the things that you're seeing is, in reality, for most of this season, the Wolves have played pretty good defense. They've had really strong effort. Now, the rebounding had been a problem. But they were at least pretty connected defensively. They were scrambling around. They were covering for each other. They just weren't making shots at all. And that was the big reason that they were in that funk and had fallen to, I think it was 3-9 at the time, and just could not get anything going. And so the bizarro world that we were living in is that this team that always has been able to score a bunch of points, but also gives up 120 points at the drop of a hat, was suddenly having to rely on its defense. And what I think the big turning point was in these last four games, outside of the competition, which certainly needs to be addressed and mentioned, is that the Spurs stink, the Kings stink, the Pelicans stink. The Grizzlies win was really, really good. They just beat Utah on the road on Monday night. And so to walk into that game, snap a 7-game losing streak against the Grizzlies, beat them by 43 points. I mean, that's an emphatic victory. But what we have seen anyway, to really kind of galvanize this defense, is Chris Finch shuffled the starting lineup. And so he moved Jaden McDaniels into a bench role. He moved Patrick Beverley and Jared Vanderbilt into starting roles with Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell, Karl-Anthony Towns. And what that has done is just give this lineup a lot more balance, because Vanderbilt is everywhere. He's guarding everyone. He's rebounding. He has really almost single-handedly helped them to cover up their biggest weakness, was getting defensive rebounds. They were getting hammered on the glass earlier in the year. Vanderbilt's coming in and grabbing 10, 12 a night. He's also guarding wings. He's guarding guards. He's guarding big men. It doesn't matter. That's just the versatility that he has. You've heard Anthony Edwards start to build a drumbeat for first team all defense for Jared Vanderbilt. He's been terrific. Patrick Beverley is just a pit bull, man. He is the guy that you hate when you're playing against him. You love when he's on your team. And he has been exactly that. He has infused this team with a level of toughness and a level of grit and a level of focus on the defensive end that just has not even been there forever. Not even in the Tibbs Jimmy years. They were always really good offensively in the Tibbs Jimmy years, not very good defensively. And so I think that has really kind of turned things around. Now you see Edwards bought in. You see actually D'Angelo Russell playing decently defensively, which is a huge step up from his normal play on that end of the floor. Karl-Anthony Towns is playing well on that end. And so they are just really a collective unit that is getting out there, getting stops. They're ranked seventh in the league in defensive efficiency right now.
I was prepping for this, and I was looking at the defensive and offensive efficiencies for Minnesota, and I'm like, wait, what? Is that right?
It's crazy. Yeah, they're 104.4 points per 100 possessions. Fifth, they're seventh. The Heat are fifth, 104.3. Yep. Right there, right? But the other interesting part, Steven, is that of the top 12 teams in the defensive efficiency rankings, the Wolves are the only team with a losing record. So the whole mantra of maybe defense does win is really prevalent. The Wolves just have been so bad defensively prior to these last, or offensively, excuse me, prior to these last four games, that they were really, choking away games that they should have won. They were in a lot of tight games, couldn't get buckets down the stretch. Edwards, Towns, Russell seem to be figuring things out a little bit more. They're making more shots, and now the wins are starting to come on top of, the competition that they've had.
Yeah, and we'll get into the actual game of it. I want to draw some comparisons and bring in the Heat into this mix. But I think the biggest thing, John, and Spoelstra constantly talks about this in his press conferences, he talks about it in training camp. You want guys that impact winning. And for the Wolves, they haven't had a guy that impacts winning in multiple facets, because we know about the offensive ability of Karl Towns and D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards, but it's defensively that they've had some missing pieces. And I think that especially Vanderbilt, I mean, how he defended Brandon Ingram, who is still a premier scorer in this league. I don't care what anyone says. Save Brandon Ingram, by the way. Get him out of there. That's an incredible cover that he did against Ingram. And I think when you add Patrick Beverley into the mix, that's all what it's about when it comes to basketball and winning basketball. You need guys to do different things and impact winning, not just in one way. And I think for the Wolves, for the longest time, you had these offensive weapons even before this with Andrew Wiggins and until, and there's a pretty clear indicator on why the Wolves were able to make the playoffs, you enter Jimmy Butler, who, the reason why the Heat love Jimmy Butler so much, it's not because he can hit mid-range jump shots, it's because he impacts the game in so many other ways, right? Defensively, communicating, leader, getting to the free throw line. And that's kind of the makeup of Miami's roster. Guys that impact winning that might not show offensively. Kyle Lowry, PJ Tucker, Markieff Morris. These guys impact winning, and I think that's sort of the route, the way Minnesota should continue to try to build the makeup of their roster when you have such great scorers in Towns, Edwards, and Russell.
Yeah, and I think what I'm really interested about on Wednesday night, Stephen, is that for a long time, what Jimmy Butler represented and kind of his exit out of Minnesota was him saying, these guys aren't tough enough for
Correct.
Me. Like, I need tougher dudes to play with.
He needs
and
dogs.
I'm gonna go to, yep, I'm going to go to Philly and play with Embiid. I'm going to go to Miami. Now he's got Kyle Lowry. Now he's got PJ Tucker. Now he's got Bam Adebayo. He's got, like, Miami, you just, when you think of Miami, the Miami Heat, you think toughness. And you think, we're going to fight you. They don't load manage. They don't do any of that stuff. They every time you step in the ring with them, you better be throwing haymakers. And so that team is very much molded in Jimmy Butler's image, because Jimmy Butler's image matches Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley's image to a T. So it's a 100%. Match made in heaven. So now, though, the Wolves team that they will see on Wednesday night is much closer to that kind of level, to that mentality, than they have ever been in the Karl Towns era. And again, that includes when Jimmy Butler and Tibbs were here and they had Taj Gibson and they had, you know, all the, they had these veterans that were ready. They were not that tough. Derrick Rose and everyone else. The Wolves are starting to take on more of the feel of a team that will fight you. The book on them has always been, you push back at them and they are not going to be able to answer the bell. Now, that's why I do think that this game on Wednesday night is such a barometer.
A huge litmus test.
Yep, for how far they have come. Because you know that Jimmy Butler is going to be frothing at the mouth for this game. You know that he's going to love getting booed and want to bring it to him. That the Target Center is going to be packed and they are going to be giving it to Jimmy Butler. And you know that he is going to want to, you know, Kyle Lowry is going to say, let's go to war. I'm with you, Jimmy. You know Bam is going to do that. You know he's going to try and get in Karl Anthony Towns' head. You know that all these guys are going to go to battle, and this is going to be a fight. So I just want to see how the Wolves stand up to that. I don't even necessarily think they have to win, but they have to be in there and say, we are here to fight you, and these things are going to be changing, to really kind of continue to try to change the perception of this team.
This isn't just a big game for the Wolves just as far as where they're at in the season, but it's also, I think, for the fans as well. And I was always a fan of this team, but I think when you're playing a team like Miami, and again, we're talking about the last four games, and we all can sit here and be honest with ourselves, those aren't the best teams. Memphis is a nice team, but Pelicans, Kings, Spurs, this is where you kind of get, okay, where are we at here? Here's a measuring stick of where we're at in the point of the season. I'm super excited about Wednesday for a couple of reasons. First of all, I just think the talent on hand, right? Like, some of these names that we're going to be dropping, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Edwards, Bam Adebayo, Karl Towns, and then my guy Tyler Hero, who has really ascended
played
this
great.
Year. There has been, there are so many eye candy talent on this floor on Wednesday night. And it's really, it's going to be very interesting to see, like you said, how do the Timberwolves stack up against one of the premier teams in the East? And it's not just a premier team. It's a team, I think, a lot of, in a lot of ways, they want to be. They want to be that tough team. They want to be defensive-minded. Now it's about putting it all together. And like you said before, Jimmy's coming into there. He knows what's at stake. He knows he wants to beat the Wolves. Miami plays tonight, actually, against Detroit. So they're going to be on a back end of a back-to-back. I know Duncan Robinson's been battling a knee injury. We'll see how they play it out tonight. But I expect a full hard effort with everyone playing tomorrow night at Target Center.
We're going to dive a lot more into this matchup. We're going to kind of get into some of the keys. We're going to really get Steven's view on where the Miami Heat are at right now and really kind of the environment and what to expect on Wednesday night at Target Center. But Steven, I know you've been waiting for this. It's the highly anticipated thing. I will say there is a little more magic, I believe, when you get to kind of hear it in real time, when you get to really just kind of sit back and absorb it. So we are going to thank all of our sponsors right now. And first and foremost, we are thanking Manscaped. And this holiday season, I'm giving thanks to our friends at Manscaped. And I'm going to tell my extended family that I have the Performance Package 4.0 from the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming. It includes the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer to tame my bush and score brownie points with the in-laws. You can gift yourself Manscaped or the man in your life who needs it. Join 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC by going to manscaped.com. Do you think your holiday spread is good? It's time to give thanks to Manscaped Performance Package 4.0, or as I like to call it, the perfect package for your package. Inside, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. We're all on the road during the holiday season. Steven, I know you're on the road a little bit. You got that shed travel bag to carry your Manscaped with you so you can keep with it on the go. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. The nose and ear hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Gifting Manscaped is the ultimate hack to become the family favorite. Manscaped has been busy and just launched their refined body wash and 2-in-1 shampoo plus conditioner. Both featured the Manscaped signature scent and will help unlock your confidence this year. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com. There you go, Steven.
That was as advertised, man. That was tremendous.
Well, we do what we can here. We'd also like to thank TSR Injury Law.
As we talk about, no one ever calls us in a good mood, but I promise you, this is that there is no shortage of insurance companies trying to absolutely not help you. And we just got a call from a lady who is driving, trying to go to a volleyball game, and gets hit head on by a drunk driver who crossed the center lane. And, you know, she's all kinds of jacked up. And literally the at fault party would not get a rental car for her husband who was trying to go to work. That's why they called us, not because they're hurt or they're mad. It's like, literally, like, is this right? Like, shouldn't we get a rental car? And I'm like, I will fix that for you. And we will also then talk about all the other stuff. And so it's just amazing to me, just the lack of humanity that these insurance companies have. And that's why we're busy and we're moving to a new office and we're expanding, and we try to hold them accountable, and we'll keep doing it for anyone who calls. And obviously, you know, we all know the number.
Memorial Blood Centers.
With folks gearing up for holiday travel, holiday shopping, and so on, one thing they may not think about is giving blood. Our local Memorial Blood Centers is asking eligible donors to step up to donate. It takes less than an hour, and it saves lives. I recently gave blood there, and it was actually less than an hour, so it really doesn't take up a lot of your time. Memorial Blood Center supplies nearly 40 hospitals across the state, one of which could help you or a loved one in a time of need. Learn more or schedule an appointment by calling 1-888-448-3253 or by visiting mbc.org. That's mbc.org.
And All Energy Solar.
All Energy Solar, allenergysolar.com. Utility costs are rising every year, and it's unnecessarily costing you money, but it doesn't have to be that way with a new system from All Energy Solar. Even if you have to take out a loan to finance your installation, you'll still save money in the long run. The loan payment will likely be less than you would pay for electricity every month, and it's a locked-in price that won't change. So start saving and make the switch to All Energy Solar. Book your appointment today at allenergysolar.com.
We'll also remind you that on December 2nd, the John Krasinski Show will be live at Tuttle's in Hopkins for a live show. Stop there 7 p.m. Stop in, have some burgers, have some beers, join us, have a great conversation. Can't wait to see you all out there. So hope to see you then. And Steven, let's get back into it here. When you look at this game, talking about The one thing that struck me last year when the Wolves and the Heat played, and there was obviously a confrontation right at the end, right, in Miami between Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler. Butler really kind of giving it to Towns, calling him a loser. Towns asking him to call a certain journalist who he sat down with after a volatile practice in Minnesota. It really got after it. The one thing, though, I don't really want to get into all that rehash of that drama, but the thing that really stood out to me in the post game of that is this was in the pandemic, so we were doing everything over Zoom.
Sure.
Karl-Anthony Towns comes into the post game press conference, and seated right next to him is Anthony Edwards, the rookie 19-year-old kid, has only been in Minnesota for not even a year yet and is still trying to figure everything out. But in that moment, when Karl-Anthony Towns started to get questions about the confrontation with Jimmy Butler, one thing that was really impressive to me is that Edwards already at that young age knew all of the backstory. He knew that Karl-Anthony Towns is not a player that likes to really comment publicly about the drama around the league. He pretty much likes to keep his mouth shut in those areas and doesn't like to kind of feed the trolls and things like that and be a part of that soap opera of the league. And so Anthony Edwards cuts right in to the questions being asked to Towns and says, "Those are just men being men, dog. Like, that's it. Just grown men playing. There's nothing wrong with it." And he nipped it right in the bud right there. And I think that what that showed me was this is a kid who really has a mental maturity about him, a real understanding of the dynamics of a complex situation, and was standing up for his teammate. And I do think that going in Wednesday night, you're going to see that again. Like, he's going to know that Karl-Anthony Towns takes this very personally. He's going to know there's a lot of drama surrounding it. And I think you're going to see a very assertive, very kind of aggressive Anthony Edwards to try and take some of that burden and put it on his shoulders. And that's why I think that this Timberwolves team at least has a chance to be competitive in this game and really to kind of continue this little renaissance that they're on with this win streak, because Edwards has a toughness about him internally that you just didn't see from Wiggins, that you haven't really seen from Towns all that often. And I think that brings another dimension to this that's going to be really important for them going forward.
It's a supreme confidence, John, and you've covered this league for a long time, and you can just kind of pick it out with certain players. And I know I brought him up before, but I feel that same vibe with like Tyler Hero. Like, I feel like some guys just have that supreme confidence and that toughness to them. And I think I'll react to what you said about Edwards. First of all, wasn't that supposed to be the downside to Edwards, his maturity and mental approach? I'm pretty sure that was like the one thing they were saying, do we even know if he likes basketball? I am so glad that the Wolves ended up taking him instead of James Wiseman and not getting bullied into taking Wiseman because of a couple of people that said that Edwards might not be mature. What that shows me again is, like you said, it's a maturity. It's, I'm not going to let the media here portray Carl a certain way, or I'm not going to let him ramble on and yammer in the press conference, because to be honest with you, John, if it would have happened like that and Carl would say whatever he would have said, oh, he said this to me, or, you know, yada, 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 then Jimmy knows, hey, we're getting in this guy's head. And I think that's the bigger picture here going into this game, is that Edwards is I think he's all, like, he talks and he backs it up. So I think that kind of set the stage for Wednesday. Again, this is going to be like a playoff sort of atmosphere with, like you said, with Target Center. The Wolves are going to have a chip on their shoulder. They're also going to have a day of rest. But again, the Heat know what's at stake. Jimmy obviously wants to win this game, even though he'll never admit it. But yeah, I just think as far as Edwards goes, you know, that is such an important and rare thing to have in such a young player.
Absolutely. And how do you think, Steven, that Miami will go about defending Towns? Because we've seen so far this season a couple of different approaches. One, early on in the season, especially when the Malik Beasley, D'Angelo Russell, even Edwards to an extent were not hitting their shots, it was, We're going to put the power forward on Towns. We're going to let the center kind of guard either like Josh Okogie, Vanderbilt, whoever, and really just not even pay attention to him offensively. And then we're going to double with that center and even sometimes run three guys at him, force the ball out of his hands and see if other guys can beat him. And to Towns' discredit, he was really having a hard time in the post in those situations. He's turned the ball over a lot. When he was getting passes out to the perimeter, they were missing shots. It really was not going well. We've also seen teams try to just guard him straight up with the center and go big on big. And usually that's when Towns was really feasted. He crushed Jonas Valanciunas on Monday night. He made, you know, played Steven Adams right off the floor against the Grizzlies on Saturday. He has a lot of success that way. And so how do you think the Heat are going to go about attacking Minnesota from an offensive perspective and trying to limit what they got and keep them out of rhythm?
What Miami plans on doing defensively with Towns?
Yes.
Yes. Well, defensively, I mean, they feel like Bam Adebayo should be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year the next 10 years. Like, Bam Adebayo is a tremendous defender. And so I think a lot of the times you're going to get the one-on-one looks. But the thing that makes this team special is their versatility to switch. And when I tell you this, God's honest truth, they are okay if Karl Towns ends up backing down Kyle Lowry. Like, that's how confident they are in that starting five group, right? Like, we talked about it, Tucker, Lowry, Adebayo, Butler. So what they do a lot of times defensively is they just switch and they're okay. Like, they're okay with guys. Now, it changes when guys like Duncan Robinson get on them and Tyler Hero, and they've done better defensively, but their bread and butter is switching defensively. So I think you're going to get a couple of looks as far as, especially where Karl Towns lines up. I mean, if he's going to be at the top of the arc, they're going to trust Bam Adebayo to stay in front of him. If he's going to start to work in the pick and roll, they are going to be perfectly okay. And you're going to see it a couple of times where Karl Towns has Kyle Lowry on him, you know, deep in the block or whatever it may be. And Lowry is not going to back down. Another thing I think is going to be important here is we know Minnesota takes the most threes in the league. When Karl does kick out like he was doing the last couple of games, if he does get doubled, if Minnesota can't make threes in this game Wednesday, it plays right in the Heat's favor. And as much as I think they're not going to double Towns, especially in the beginning of the game, they're going to see what Bam is able to do. Hopefully he doesn't get into some foul trouble because they are thin at that position, especially with Markieff Morris out. The Wolves are going to have to make threes, and they're going to have to make, and they're going to get open threes if they send the double. It's just going to be, can they shoot a lot better than they did against New Orleans? Because if they shoot like they did against New Orleans, the Heat are going to, I'm not going to say win this game, but the Heat are going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and that because that's the other part that you have to remember with the Heat is that not only are they a great defensive team, but they're also a top four offensive team. They're also scoring 111.7 points per 100 possessions. And so it's not like you're getting into a rock fight with these guys and you're going to win a game, you know, 100-97. It's like, you better be able to score some points here or else they're going to run you right out of the building.
Yeah. They're averaging 109 points per game. And Lowry has completely unlocked this offense, John. I mean, he does things, and I know it doesn't show up on paper because of the pace, and they're actually 22nd in pace this year, 98.7. They were 98.7 on the year last year. But Kyle Lowry has completely unlocked this offense in transition. And the thing also about this year is they're really feeling comfortable with outlet passing to Bam Adebayo. So he's starting their offense. You know about their dribble handoff. I'll refer to it as DHO. But their dribble handoff offense, and Duncan Robinson hasn't shot the ball particularly well so far this year, but that's their bread and butter. And I think that's where the big difference is going to become on Wednesday, because how Miami tacks fives is usually the five likes to stand and maybe drop coverage. They're not going to be able to do that. When Tyler Hero is coming off a dribble handoff, Karl Towns is going to have to come out there and guard perimeter guards because that's what they want to get into. So I would say the pace is definitely a huge reason why the numbers are up. The dribble handoff action, and that's what they've been known for the last couple of years as they've developed Duncan Robinson, these other guys, even like Max Strus that comes off the bench. And then the last thing is they hunt isolations better than anyone in the league that I've seen so far. They'll just, Jimmy Butler will just get on whoever he wants to get on. He'll get into space. He's been hitting this little turnaround baseline jumper, sometimes off 1 foot. And if he's able to do that consistently, and we see the numbers, I mean, he's averaging 25 points per game on 53% shooting. He's only taken 22 threes. That's not where he's getting his points. It's at the line. He's been there 124 times. They do such a great job of hunting isolations, whether that is Bam Adebayo, whether that is Jimmy Butler. And then PJ Tucker has become an essential piece in the pick and roll. He has this little 5 to 7 foot floater, and you'll see it, I promise you, a couple of times on Wednesday, where he'll go out and set a ball screen, and he's known for being the 3-and-D guy in the corner. But what PJ Tucker has really worked on is this little floater where he'll catch it inside the paint and just drop it over a 6'11 center. It's pretty incredible. So all of those factors, and then you have Tyler coming off the bench leading that second group. They're a really deep offensive team. So that's the majority of where they're getting their offense from.
Yeah, and you know what? I just can't wait, Stephen, to watch Patrick Beverley and Kyle Lowry go at it.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's like, it's the Spider-Man meme, right? It's,
I was just like, going to say that.
Oh. They're pointing at each other. I mean, they're both agitators defensively. They will draw charges. They will get in your grill. They will swipe at the ball and piss you off. And then offensively, now, I think Lowry is certainly a more well-rounded offensive player, but Beverly is kind of in the same mold in terms of, like, they're not flashy kind of point guards. They are make the right pass at the right time and keep the thing moving type of quarterbacks, game managers that really, really just know how to run offenses and get good shots and do all those things. And so they're two really proud veterans. They are ornery guys and they are intense. And I imagine in the arena tomorrow night, it's going to be very, very charged up. I think that both of those guys will kind of feed off of that and really go at each other.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited about that. Again, there are so many matchups here on Wednesday, and I'm not just saying it because we're recording this podcast. If I wasn't a Heat fan and if I wasn't a Wolves fan, I would be tuned into this game because of the history, but also, again, the matchups like Bam Adebayo versus Karl Anthony Towns, two Kentucky guys. You know, like you said, Kyle Lowry versus Patrick Beverley. You know, I don't know how much they're going to see of each other with Edwards and Hero. Hero's been closing out some games as well. So there is just a plethora of matchups that I'm super excited for on Wednesday night.
Yeah. And so what do you think they're going to do? I mean, is it just simply, Jimmy, you got Edwards and just shut him down? Is that probably the move there? Or,
well, it's funny because you brought up that press conference, and I'm sure that Jimmy was reminded or at least told about that. So I'm expecting Jimmy Butler to start on Anthony Edwards. But again, John, it's different.
Yeah,
this team is different
up, right?
Because they switch. They're so comfortable switching. They will put Kyle Lowry on Karl Anthony Towns. They will put Bam Adebayo on D'Angelo Russell. And they're so confident in doing that. And it gives them such flexibility with that starting five. And you know, as they get deeper into the bench, you know, they actually been starting to go a little zone as well. So I'm very curious with the way Minnesota shot the ball against New Orleans, will Spo go to that zone, especially if guys like Bam Adebayo get into foul trouble early? That's something that I think is definitely something to watch for.
Well, you know, the bottom line here, Stephen, is that we are going into a game on Wednesday night that is going to be really charged up. It's going to be playoff intensity. It's going to be a lot of just kind of back and forth and chippiness and all these things. And for a league that often does get criticized that, hey, the regular season is too long, these games don't matter, you know, no one really cares about them until they get to the playoffs, this is one of those games and one of those nights where it's going to be great to be in that arena. It's going to be great. You're going to be able to watch it on TV and you're going to be able to see that this is going to be a fight. And I think that anytime you can get that environment in this league to kind of dispel some of the notion that regular season doesn't matter, these guys are going through the motions,
yes,
that's a very, very good thing. And so I'm just looking forward to watching two teams who really, really do not want to lose this game kind of fight tooth and nail against each other.
No, for sure. And I think it's great for the league because I think the league gets a lot of slack for, you know, the length of the season and some games just completely being unwatchable. This is one of those games where, I mean, it should be on ESPN. I don't know if it is on ESPN, but this should be a nationally televised game for multiple reasons, like we talked about. But what I wanted to ask you, John, because just again, just as I've moved up here, the broadcasting ladder and just watching a bunch of basketball, do you feel like if your best player isn't your best or second best defender, do you think you can have success, sustainable success across a regular season? Because, I mean, let's just, if we look across the most successful teams across the league, you know, there's certain ones that are outliers, right? Like, I don't know how great Kevin Durant is defensively. I know he's pretty decent. But you look across the league and specifically with the Wolves, because Karl Anthony Towns isn't known for his defense, because D'Angelo Russell is certainly not known for his defense, until one of those guys or Edwards, until they ascend and I guess start to make themselves a defensive player, do you think you can have sustainable winning success in this league, specifically with the Wolves?
You know, I think you can, but it is harder because, I mean, Golden State, Steph Curry isn't their best, right? I mean, he's decent defensively, but it's Draymond Green that runs that. When Klay Thompson's healthy, he's locking that down. Wiggins is big for them. Curry is far down the pecking order from a defensive standpoint there. You look at James Harden when he was in Houston. You know, they had plenty of regular season success, even though he was not their best defensive player. He had a lot of weaknesses defensively. Russell Westbrook on some of the teams that he's had success on regular season. Now, again, when you get into the playoffs, I think that changes. You know, I think that's a different thing. But there is no doubt that the Wolves have a long way to go before they can really say that they're not just a team that is kind of biting at the play-in, maybe wants to sneak in 7 seed, 8 seed, somewhere in there, 9 or 10. Like, they got a long way to go before they're having this conversation of, no, we're trying to be a 5, a 4, a 3 seed, something like that. And there's a lot of improvement that has to happen. And a lot of that is on the defensive side. I think it is encouraging that, much like Golden State with like the supporting cast, the Wolves with Vanderbilt, with Beverly, with Jaden McDaniels, guys like that, they are building defensive kind of tent poles around them to protect them a little bit. But yeah, I think eventually you're going to need Edwards to, you know, really be a strong defender if you really want to kind of vault into contention. But they're just taking these first baby steps to try to get back into the playoff conversation, which is, they've been nowhere near that for the last however many years since Jimmy left.
Now, the two rosters are different in a lot of ways, but my point to that is basically because you have a guy in Jimmy Butler that really sets that that tone. Mm-hmm. I think it's contagious in a sense, right? Like if you see, like if you're Duncan Robinson, right? And he talked about it in his media day stuff, like when you are around Kyle Lowry, PJ Tucker, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, like if you're not giving that 100% effort defensively, like you feel guilty. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's kind of the point where I'm trying to get at is like, and even like you talked about the Warriors, but I feel like Draymond is such a verbal leader that he has that ability to be contagious and people look at him and be like, all right, like he's working his ass off. Like I got to make sure that I'm in defensive position. And I think it gets tricky when your three best players aren't particularly known for defense. And that's kind of what I was alluding to.
Yeah.
Is it difficult? You know, is it difficult if you are, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, Malik Beasley, to buy in defensively when you look at Karl Towns and D'Angelo Russell, who aren't premier defenders?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the answer is, the evidence would say absolutely, because the Wolves are 8-9 right now. You know, they've had losses to New Orleans, Orlando, you know, teams like that that they should have beaten at home. They have not performed kind of consistently. And I think that has been the issue that the Wolves have dealt with for several years now, is that what you want, obviously, the most ideal situation is that you get a star player who just demands a lot of everyone involved because he gives so much. Mm. And there has to be an element of, man, you know, this guy is asking me to do this, but he is busting his ass to get to do it himself. And so I can't let him down is I think a big part of that. Now, Towns has not been able to do that over the last few years. Some of it is because he hasn't been healthy, but other parts of it is when he has been healthy, he just is not giving the requisite production and effort on the defensive side to be able to demand anything of his teammates. And so I do think that that has been a sticking point for them. Same with D'Angelo Russell. Now, early on in this season, we are seeing more attention to detail from them. We are seeing more consistent engagement on that end, but that's just like the baseline. Like they have to take huge strides in that. And what they are all saying is that Patrick Beverley is kind of showing them the way and showing them how to do that. Right now, it's okay that Beverley is the main voice and is the one that is pushing and demanding and prodding. But eventually that is going to have to be Towns, or it's going to have to be Edwards most likely, to really kind of assume that mantle and be the guy that demands it because he's the one that is the most talented. And that's going to be the key for them going forward, to go from a team that kind of rides the roller coaster and will win three or four and then lose five or six to a team that more can be, you know, night in and night out, one that brings the requisite effort to kind of make teams work for it. And they seem to be starting to turn that corner a little bit, but I still think they have a long way to go in that regard.
I want to get your storylines, and then I don't know how much more we want to do here, but I did have a question before we get into just the meat and potatoes of the storylines. I want to get what you've seen from the Heat as well. This second unit for the Wolves, because this has been a big part of the Heat as well, so it's another kind of storyline that I'm looking at. The second unit offensively, where are they getting production from? And what sort of do you think the plan when Tyler Hero comes in with this second unit? And another couple guys I have to mention that have been playing really well, Caleb Martin, who's on a two-way deal, a steal that they got him on. He has played really valuable minutes for them, Max Strus. But specifically with Tyler Hero, what does that matchup look like? Because I'm very excited to see that when he comes off the bench.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it kind of in a weird way, the Wolves have a bunch of guys that they can throw at him. And I think that one thing that we have seen Chris Finch do a lot of already is you're not going to, he staggers his starters pretty liberally so that it's very rarely four bench guys in one or all five bench guys out there at the same time, so that, you know, he has some scoring help. So either they have Towns and Edwards out there together, or Russell and Towns, or Edwards and Russell, something like that, so that when they go to the bench, they still have some ability to score points. Mm. But then, you know, when he does go to the bench, Josh Okogie has missed a bunch of games now with back spasms, but I think he will be ready to go. It's a possibility he'll be ready to go on Wednesday. If he is ready, he's a natural fit to just kind of hound Tyler Hero and really get after him. I think that I do think that Jaden McDaniels, even though he is very tall, has really shown a great ability to stay in front of quicker guards. And so you could see him on Tyler Hero and try to bother a shot with his long arms and his length. Malik Beasley has actually been a lot better defensively this season, and at least is giving forth effort. So you could even, you know, mix and match him on there every once in a while just to kind of make Hero work a little bit. But they have a bunch of guys, you know, that they can kind of deploy that way. I still think that, you know, Hero's still going to find his way to produce and be good. But the Wolves have some versatile guys at their disposal that they can kind of throw out there and at least have a decent chance of staying in front of him, depending on who else is out on the floor with him.
It's a very big game, again, for both teams. Specifically, what Spoelstra wants to see is, especially in these close games, they led by 10 a couple days ago in Washington, and Washington went on a 19-6 run. And they actually asked him about it, you know, are you concerned about these late game leads? And he said that these are, quote, first class problems, which I thought was pretty funny if that was the one issue that they had with the Heat so far. Miami's 3-4 in clutch games, which means 5 minutes left. Neither team is led by more than five. I wonder how both these teams would sort of react here, because you look at the Wolves' last couple of wins, they've been blowouts. I'm very curious to see if this game comes down, you know, like you said, like these clutch games, these clutch time games. I'm very interested to see who emerges from that.
For sure. And I think where the Wolves would really be in a tough situation against the Heat, a very, very good defensive team that can just do so many things to disrupt what you want to do offensively, because their biggest weakness so far, the reason that they are 8-9 and they are not, like, you know, 12-6 is that they have been awful, just like straight up awful in the half court offensively. And a lot of it has been just Towns, Edwards, and Russell have not really figured out how to work together and just run cohesive offense. It's been, you know, your turn, my turn kind of thing. Now, I will say, over the last week, we have seen them take big strides in finding more of an identity that way. It certainly helps that guys like Beasley, guys like Torian Prince, who was shooting 18% from three at one point, is now starting to hit more shots.
Yes.
To kind of keep teams honest. Jaden McDaniel's doing it as well after really struggling offensively. So if they can get guys open, they have been getting guys open looks. They just haven't been hitting shots. And so a close game on Wednesday night would be by far their biggest test to see how far they've come in terms of just a cohesion standpoint with the offense and being able to run offense and being able to get good looks for, you know, whether it's your role players or for an Edwards, for a Towns, for a Russell, and knock those down. I think that obviously, you know, this sounds, you know, obvious, really elementary. Well, the Wolves should really want to be up 20 going into the fourth. Well, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
but if they are in that grind, if they're in that tight game, their ability to get buckets is going to be the thing that could get in the way much more so than their ability to get stops, oddly enough.
Heat play Detroit tonight. I'm not sure if this is coming out today or tomorrow, but you can definitely get a little bit more of a sneak peek. They play Detroit tonight. Timberwolves Heat, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock my time, 7 o'clock y'all Minnesotans times. What do we want to end on here, John? Do we want to go on a player that you think's going to break out this game, or what do we want to end with here?
So what? Here, just as a final thought, why don't you give me, you know, your thought on the one factor that you think will say, okay, if the Heat end up winning this game, what are you pointing to? And then I'll go with mine to finish it up here.
I would say if Duncan Robinson, because I'm just waiting for this guy to break out. I think that I talk about Kyle Lowry, like, unlocking the offense. No one unlocks this offense more than Duncan Robinson. And this year, it's crazy. You want to know how many threes he has put up this year so far, John? Just take a wild guess after 17 games. How many three-point shots he has put up this season so far? Above 100.
Yeah, I was going to say it's got to be like 100. Well, I don't know how many minutes he's playing, so I'm going to say like 135.
151.
Oh, man, I was going to say 150, and I was like, nah, I don't think he's got the minutes for that. But yeah, I can absolutely see it.
So I'm going to go with And as long as he's healthy with the knee, not sure if he's going to play tonight or not, but I think Duncan Robinson, if he's able to spread the floor and make six or seven threes, which the Heat have been waiting on, again, he's off to this slow start. He's still doing a lot of other good things, I've got to say. He's getting a lot more comfortable making decisions. He talked about that in the offseason. He wanted to do a lot better job on these dribble handoffs, being able to find Bam. And he's so great, him and Bam, on these boomerang actions where he'll throw it to Bam. He'll come around for a handoff. He'll take the handoff. He's not open. He'll give it right back to Bam. He'll come back again. So if Duncan Robinson is able to step up here and hit six or seven threes, this could be a really fun night for Miami. So I'm going to go with Duncan Robinson to explode here from the perimeter.
Okay, and I'm going to go, it's going to sound basic, but I am going to say it. I'm going with Edwards. You know, I think that sometimes what we have seen in these situations is Karl Anthony Towns almost gets too excited for these games. Like, he gets too amped up, and either he gets in foul trouble or he kind of loses his cool with the refs and loses his composure. Yeah. But what we have seen from Anthony Edwards is when Target Center is full and when it's rocking and when it's really playing, when it's really going, Edwards feeds off of that emotion and that energy in a very positive way. And I think that the Wolves' best chance to really kind of come out with it, what would be probably their best win of the season, would be if Anthony Edwards sort of rises to that moment and gets amped up in the best of ways and channels that energy into, you know, really good defense, dunks in transition, and hitting his threes. And if that happens, the place is going to go bananas. The roof is going to tear off of the top of it, and the Wolves are going to have a real chance. So, Anthony Edwards, it is your time to shine here, and we will see if they're up to the task.
It would mean, and also, John, I mean, it would be like, okay, you talked about it. He said it last year, like, let's back it up. And I think that he's capable of doing that. I think he's done that before. So this is tough for me, man. This is really, I'm just thinking, it's like, what am I going to cheer against Anthony Edwards going up for a tomahawk jam and transition? I'm going to sit there with, you know, my hands together. I mean, oh gosh, this one's tough, but I got to go with who writes the paycheck.
Yeah. I can't. I don't blame you one bit, Steven. You're wise beyond your years. Because just stick with that way, and you'll be just fine. Steven Strom, you can listen to him on Strom Sports on Talk North, the Talk North Podcast Network. He works for the Heat. Thanks for joining me, my friend. Have a happy Thanksgiving to you and to everyone out there listening. I will thank our sponsors one more time: TSR Injury Law, Manscaped, Memorial Blood Centers, and All Energy Solar. We will be back with you next week. Jim Suhan will return. We'll talk about this game. We'll talk about the Timberwolves getting into a very difficult portion of their schedule and seeing how they handle it. But I hope to see a bunch of you at the arena on Wednesday night and just be interacting with you on social media after that. So thanks a lot, everyone.